Now would you chill out? I laugh. Sure, sure. Let's just get our seats, he says quietly, leading the way.
What the heck? Did you see that? How the heck did that count?
Landon screams next to me. He's more energized than I've ever seen him. Still, even angry, he sounds like a pussy.
Come on!
He yells once more, and I bite my tongue in laughter. I suppose Tessa was right. He isn't too terrible of company. Not my first choice, obviously, but not so bad. I hear that the more you yell and scream, the more likely they are to win, I tell him. He ignores me and continues to yell and boo with the ebb and flow of the game. I alternate between paying attention and texting Tessa dirty things. And before I realize it, Landon's yelling,
Yes!
When his team wins the game at the last second. The crowd piles out of the arena, and I push my way through them.
Watch it!
A voice behind me says.
Sorry.
Landon apologizes.
That's what I thought,
the voice says, and I turn around to find a nervous Landon and an asshole wearing the opposing team's jersey. Landon swallows, but doesn't say anything else, as the man and his crew continue to taunt him.
Look how scared he is,
another voice says, one of the asshole's friends, I presume.
I,
Landon stammers. Are you kidding me?
Fuck off, both of you.
I snarl, and they both turn to look at me.
Or what?
I can smell the beer on the tall one's breath.
Or I will shut you up in front of everyone, and you'll be so humiliated it'll be on the game's highlight reel. That's what.
I warn him, meaning every single word.
Come on, Dennis, let's go.
The short one, the only one with some sense, says and tugs on his friend's jersey, and they disappear into the crowd. I grab Landon by the arm and pull him the rest of the way. Tessa will have my balls if I let him get beat up tonight.
Thanks for that. You didn't have to do it,
Landon says when we reach his car. Don't make it awkward, okay? I grin, and he shakes his head, but I hear him laugh quietly to himself.
Should I take you back to your apartment now?
He asks, after several minutes of awkward silence, while we wait to leave the crowded parking lot.
Yeah, sure.
I check my phone again to see if Tessa has responded. She hasn't.
Are you moving?
I ask Landon.
I don't know yet. I really want to be closer to Dakota,
he explains.
So why doesn't she move here?
Because her career in ballet wouldn't work here. She has to be in New York City. Landon lets another car pass in front of his, despite the fact that we've barely moved in the line of traffic since we left our parking spot.
And you are just going to give up your life and move for her?
I scoff.
Yeah, I would rather do that than continue to be away from her. I don't mind moving anyway. New York City would be an awesome place to live. It's not always about one person in the relationship, you know,
he says, looking sideways at me. Fucker.
Was that supposed to be directed at me?
Not exactly, but if you think it was, maybe it is. A group of drunken idiots stumbles in front of the car, but Landon doesn't seem to mind that they're blocking us.
Shut the hell up, would you?
I say. He's just being a dick now.
Are you telling me you wouldn't move to New York to be with Tessa?
Yes, that is exactly what I'm telling you. I don't want to live in New York, so I won't be living in New York.
You know I don't mean New York, I mean Seattle. She wants to live in Seattle.
She'll be moving to England with me, I tell him. I turn the volume dial on his radio up in hopes of ending this conversation.
What if she doesn't? You know she doesn't want to, so why would you force her to?
I'm not forcing her to do anything, Landon. She will move because we're supposed to be together, and she won't want to be away from me. Simple as that. I check my phone once more to try to distract myself from the irritation my lovely stepbrother is causing me.
You're an asshole,
I shrug.
Never claimed that I wasn't.
I dial Tessa's number and wait for her to answer. She doesn't. Great. Fucking great. I hope she's still at home when I get there. If Landon didn't drive so goddamn slow, we would be there by now. I stay silent, picking at the torn skin surrounding my fingernails. After what seems like 3 fucking hours, Landon pulls up in front of my apartment.
Tonight wasn't so bad, right?
He asks me as I get out of the car and I chuckle.
No, I guess it wasn't, I admit.
Then I tease.
If you tell anyone I just said that, I will kill you.
Landon chuckles as he drives off. I let out a deep breath, very pleased that he didn't get his ass beat by those guys tonight. When I walk into the apartment, Tessa is sound asleep on the couch, so I just sit and watch her for a bit.
Chapter 75. Harden. After watching Tessa sleep for a while, I gather her into my arms and carry her to our bedroom. She hugs onto my arms and rests her head against my chest. I gently lay her onto our bed and pull the covers up to her chest. I give her a soft kiss on the forehead, and I'm about to turn and get myself ready for bed when she says something.
Zed,
she mumbles. Did she just? I stare at her, trying to replay the last 3 seconds in my mind. She didn't say,
Zed.
She smiles, rolling onto her stomach.
What the fuck?
Part of me wants to wake her up and demand to know why she would call his name twice in her sleep. The rest of me, the paranoid and fucking fed-up part of me, knows what she'd say. Tessa will tell me that I have nothing to worry about, that they're only friends, that she loves me. Some of that may be true, but she just said his name. Hearing that asshole's name fall from her lips on top of fucking Landon and his certainty about his future, it's too much. I'm not certain of anything, not in the way he is, and Tessa obviously isn't sure about me either. Otherwise she wouldn't be dreaming of Zed. Grabbing paper and pen, I scribble out a note for her, leave it on the dresser, and head out into the night. I turn the car toward the Canal Street Tavern. I don't want to go there in case Nate and the group are still there, but there's a place close by where I used to drink all the time. Gotta love the state of Washington and the dumbasses that never ID college kids. Tessa's voice plays in my mind, warning me not to drink again after the last time. But I don't give a shit. I need a drink. I hear Zed and Landon's voices next. Why does everyone around me think their opinions matter to me? I'm not moving to Seattle. Landon and his shit advice can fuck off. Just because he wants to follow his girlfriend around doesn't mean that I want to. I can see it now. I pack my shit and move to Seattle with her, and 2 months later she decides she's had enough of my shit and she leaves me. In Seattle, it'll be her world, not mine, and I could be pushed out of it just as easily as I was brought in. When I arrive at the bar, the music is low, and there aren't many people inside. A familiar blonde stands behind the bar and looks at me with surprise and interest in her eyes.
Long time no see, Harden. Miss me?
She grins and licks her full lips, remembering our nights together. I'm sure.
Yeah. Now give me a drink,
I respond.
Chapter 76. Tessa. When I wake up, Harden isn't in the bed, so I assume he went for a coffee run or he's in the shower. So I check the time on my phone and force myself out of bed. Despite not having gone out last night, I'm feeling pretty tired, so I don't really make an effort with my appearance. Just pulling on a WCU t-shirt and jeans. I'm tempted to wear yoga pants so I can tease Harden when I see him, but I can't find them anywhere. Knowing him, he probably hid them or put them somewhere so no other guys can see me in them. I look in my top drawer again, and when I close it, a piece of paper falls from the dresser.
Went out with my dad for breakfast,
it says in Harden's handwriting. I'm equally confused and happy about this. I really hope Harden and Ken can continue to build their relationship. Figuring that they're probably done, I try calling Harden, but he doesn't answer. I shoot him a text message and head out to meet Landon at the coffee shop. When I get there, Landon is sitting at a table and gestures to the two drinks in front of him.
I already got yours,
he says with a smile, and lifts the paper cup to me. That was nice, thanks. The sweet yet bitter taste of the coffee wakes me up the rest of the way, but then I start getting anxious that I haven't heard back from Harden.
Look at us looking like regular college students,
Landon jokes, pointing at my shirt and then at his, which is identical to mine. I laugh and take another drink of the blessed coffee.
Hey, where's Harden today?
Landon grins.
He didn't walk you to class this morning.
I shrug. I don't know. He left me a note that he left early to have breakfast with his dad. Landon stops mid-drink and gives me a quizzical look.
Really?
Then after a moment, he nods and says,
Stranger things have happened, I guess.
His response only makes my mind fill with doubt. Harden did go to breakfast with his father, didn't he? As Landon and I walk to class and Harden still hasn't responded to my previous or recent texts, an ache in my chest grows. When we take our seats, Landon looks at me and asks,
Are you okay?
And I'm about to respond when I look up to see Professor Soto entering the room.
Morning, everyone. Sorry I'm late. I had a late night last night.
He smiles and shakes a leather jacket from his shoulders before throwing it across the back of his chair.
I hope everyone took the time to either purchase or steal a journal.
Landon and I look at each other and pull out our journals. When I glance around, I see we're two of the only people to do so, and once again I'm amazed at just how unprepared college students are. But Professor Soto continues undeterred and absently straightens his tie.
If not, take out a blank piece of paper because we're going to use the first half of class to work on the first journal assignment. I haven't decided how many there will be exactly, but like I said, the journal will make up the majority of your grade, so you need to put in at least a little effort.
He grins and sits, putting his feet on the desk.
I want to know your ideas on faith. What does it mean to you? There is literally no wrong answer here, and your personal religion doesn't make a difference. You can take this in many different directions. Do you yourself have faith in some higher power? Do you feel that faith can bring good things into people's lives? Maybe you think of faith in a completely different way altogether. Does having faith in something or someone change the outcome of a situation? If you have faith that your unfaithful lover will stop being unfaithful, does that make a difference at all? Does having faith in God or a number of gods make you any better of a person than someone who doesn't? Take the topic of faith and do what you want with it. Just do something.
He says, My mind is whirling with ideas. I used to go to church growing up, but I have to admit my relationship with God hasn't always been the strongest. Every time I try to press my pen to the first page of my journal, Harden comes to mind. Why haven't I heard from him? He always calls. He left a note, so I know he's safe, but where is he now? How long will it be before I hear from him? As each text remains unanswered, the panic inside of me grows. He has changed so much, improved his behavior. Faith. Have I had too much faith in Harden? If I continue to have faith in him, will he change? Before I realize where the time has gone, I'm on my third page. Most of what I've written has gone straight from somewhere inside of me to the paper, leaving my mind and heart out of it. Somehow, a weight has been lifted by writing about my faith in Harden. Professor Soto calls the end of class, and I listen to Landon talk about his journal entry. He chose to write about faith in himself and his future. I wrote about Harden without a thought. I'm not quite sure how I feel about that. The rest of the day drags on miserably since I haven't heard from Harden. By 1 o'clock, I've called him 3 more times and sent 8 more texts, but nothing. I feel bad about it, especially after having just written about faith and my feelings about him. But my first thought is that I hope he isn't off doing something that will harm us. My second thought is of Molly. It's funny how she always pops up in mind when there's trouble. Well, not funny, but persistent. She's like an apparition that appears in my head, even though I know he wouldn't cheat on me.
Chapter 77
Harden.
Do you want another cup of coffee?
She asks.
It'll help with the hangover.
No. I know how to get rid of a hangover. I've had plenty. I growl. Carly rolls her eyes.
Don't be a dick. I was just asking.
Stop talking. I rub my temples. Her voice is annoying as hell.
Charming as ever, I see.
She laughs and leaves me alone in her small kitchen. I'm a dumbass for even being here, but it's not like I had another option. Yes, I did. I'm just trying to not take the blame for my overreaction. I was harsh on Tessa and said some pretty fucked up things, and now here I am in Carly's kitchen drinking fucking coffee this late in the afternoon.
Do you need a ride back to your car?
She yells from the other room. Obviously, I respond, and she walks into the kitchen wearing only a bra.
You're lucky that I brought your drunk ass home with me. My boyfriend will be arriving soon, so we need to go.
She slides her shirt over her head. You have a boyfriend. Nice. This keeps getting better. She rolls her eyes.
Yes, I do. It may be surprising to you that not everyone just wants an endless parade of fuck buddies.
I almost tell her about Tessa, but I decide against it, since it's none of her business. I gotta piss first, I tell her, and walk toward the bathroom. My head is pounding, and I'm angry at myself for coming here. I should be at home. Well, on campus. I hear my phone buzzing on the counter and snap back around. Don't you dare answer that! I bark at Carly, and she takes a step back.
I'm not! Man, you weren't this big of an asshole last night,
she remarks, but I ignore her. I follow Carly to her car, my head pounding with each step against the concrete. I shouldn't have drunk so much. I shouldn't have drunk at all. I look over at Carly as she rolls her window down and lights a cigarette. How could she ever have been my type? She's not wearing a seatbelt. She puts makeup on at stoplights. Tessa is so different from her, from any of the girls I've ever been with. As we're driving back to the bar where I got shit-faced last night, I keep rereading the texts from Tessa over and over again. This is terrible. She's probably really worried. My head's too foggy to think up a good excuse, so I just text her. I fell asleep in the car after drinking too much with Landon last night. Be home soon. Something feels off, and I pause for a minute. But my whole brain is just rattled, so I hit send and watch the phone to see if she's replying. Nothing. Well, I can't tell her about this, about staying at Carly's house. She'll never forgive me. She won't even hear me out. I know she won't. I can tell she's getting tired of my shit lately. I know she is. I just don't have a fucking clue how to fix it. Carly interrupts my rumination when she hits the brake and curses.
Ah, fuck! We have to go around. There's a wreck up there,
she says, pointing to the cars blocking our way. Glancing up, I see a middle-aged man standing with his hands in his pockets while talking to a police officer. He points to a white car that looks just like... I panic. Stop the car, I demand.
What? Jesus, Harden.
I said stop the goddamn car! Without thinking, I open the door as the car comes to a stop and rush over to the damaged cars. Where's the other driver? I ask the officer angrily and look around the scene. The front end of the white car is badly damaged, and then I see the WCU parking pass hanging from the rearview mirror. Fuck! An ambulance is parked next to the police car. Fuck! If something happened to her, if she isn't okay... Where's the girl? Someone fucking answer me! I scream. The cop gets an aggressively annoyed look on his face, but the other driver sees my anxiety and says softly, There! And points to the ambulance. My heart stops beating. Wandering over in a daze, I see the ambulance doors are open, and Tessa is sitting on its back bumper, an ice pack on her cheek. Thank God. Thank God it's only small. I rush over to her, and the words start tumbling from my mouth. What happened? Are you okay? Relief takes over her features when she sees me.
I had an accident.
Above her eye is a small bandage, and her lip is swollen and split on the side. Can you go? I ask rudely. Can she go? I ask the young EMT who's standing nearby. The woman nods and walks away quickly. I reach for Tessa's ice pack and move it, revealing a knot the size of a golf ball. Her cheeks are stained with tears, and her eyes are swollen and red. I can already see the black eye forming under her delicate skin. Fuck! Are you okay? Was it his fault? I turn and try to find that asshole again.
No, I ran into him,
she says, wincing as she grabs the ice pack and puts it back on her skin. Then some of the relief leaves her eyes as she looks up at me and asks,
Where were you all day?
What? I ask, honestly confused, between my hangover and seeing her like this. With a colder look in her eyes, she says,
I said, Harden, where were you all day?
I snap back to the situation. Fuck. And right as I'm about to make an excuse, Carly walks up and smacks me on the ass.
Well, Mr. Dark and Moody, can I go? You can walk back to your car from here, right? I really need to get back home.
Tessa's eyes go wide.
Who are you?
Fuck, fuck, fuck. Not this, not now. Carly smiles and gives Tessa a little nod.
I'm Harden's friend Carly. Sorry about your accident.
Then she looks at me.
Can I go now?
Bye, Carly, I snap.
Wait, Tessa says. He was with you last night at your place.
I try to make eye contact with her, but she continues to stare at Carly, who says,
Yeah, I was just trying to take him back to his car.
His car? Where's that?
She says, her voice shaking. Bye, Carly, I say again and glare at her. Tessa stands up, though her knees buckle a little.
No, tell me where his car is.
I grab hold of her elbows in an attempt to stop her, but she pushes me away and then whimpers from the pain of the motion.
Don't touch me,
she says through her teeth.
Carly, where is his car?
Tessa asks again. Carly raises her hands and looks back and forth between Tessa and me.
At the bar where I work. Okay, I'm going now,
she says and wanders off.
Tess,
I plead.
God, why am I such a fuck-up? Get away from me,
she replies. Her cheek goes in a little. I can tell she's biting down on it to keep her tears at bay. Now that she's standing here, staring off in the distance and trying to appear motionless, I'm missing the days of her constant crying.
Tessa, we have...
I begin, but my voice cracks. Now I'm the emotional one, and for once I don't care. The panic from seeing the front end of her car smashed still courses through me, and I don't want anything other than to hold her right now. She still doesn't look at me.
Go! Now! Or I'll tell the officer to make you!
I don't give a fuck about them! Her eyes whip back toward me with a vengeance.
No! I'm done listening to you. I'm not sure what happened last night, but all morning I knew, somehow knew, you were with someone else. I was just trying to force myself not to believe it.
We can work this out,
I beg.
We always have. Harden, do you not see that I was just in an accident?
She yells and starts crying, prompting the EMT to walk back over.
Actually, you probably can't tell. Your vision of reality is so warped. You write me a note last night about going out with your dad this morning. Then you text me that you fell asleep drunk in your car after drinking with Landon. With Landon! You must think I'm stupid enough to believe anything, even things that contradict each other.
She glares at me.
Of course, you're a walking bundle of contradictions. So yeah, I can see how you might mistakenly think the rest of reality is, too.
The realization of just how stupid I was fills me. I can't speak for a moment. I'm so stupid, so very, very stupid. And not just because I couldn't keep my story straight. The EMT takes that moment to put a hand on Tessa's shoulder and says,
Is everything okay over here? We need to get you to the hospital, just to check everything out.
Wiping her tears from her cheeks, Tessa looks dead at me and says to her,
Yes, I'm ready. I'm ready to leave now.
Chapter 78. Harden. I crack open my fourth beer and spin the cap on the glossy wooden surface of our coffee table. When is she going to be here? Is she going to be here? Maybe I should just text her and tell her that I did have sex with Carly, just to end both of our miseries. A loud knock on the door breaks me from my plotting. Here we go. I hope she's alone. I grab my beer, take another swig, and head for the door. The knocking quickly shifts to pounding, and I swing open the door to find Landon. Before I can react, his hands grip the collar of my t-shirt and he slams me against the wall. What the fuck? He's much stronger than I ever expected, and I'm astounded by his aggressive behavior.
What the hell is wrong with you?
He yells. I didn't know his voice could even get that loud.
Get the fuck off of me!
I push back, but he doesn't move. Fuck, he's strong. He lets go of me, and for a second I think he's going to punch me, but he doesn't.
I know that you slept with another girl, and you caused her to wreck her car!
He gets in my face again.
I suggest you lower your fucking voice,
I snap.
I'm not afraid of you,
he says through his teeth. The alcohol makes me indignant, when I should be ashamed.
I already beat your ass before, remember?
I say as I go back to the couch and sit. Landon follows me.
I wasn't as angry with you then as I am now.
He lifts his chin higher.
You can't just go around hurting her all the time.
I wave him off.
I didn't even sleep with that girl.
I just slept over at her house. So mind your own damn business.
Oh, wow! Of course you're drinking!
He gestures at the empty beer bottles on the table and the one in my hand.
Tessa is all banged up and has a concussion because of you, and here you are getting drunk. You're such a prick!
He practically screams.
That wasn't my fucking fault, and I tried to talk to her! Yes, it was your fault! It was your damn text message that she was trying to read when she crashed. A text that she knew right away was a lie, might I add.
The breath is knocked out of me.
What are you talking about?
I choke.
She was so anxious to hear from you all day. She grabbed her phone as soon as she saw your name.
This is my fault. How did I not put it together? I caused these injuries to her. I hurt her. Landon continues to stare at me.
She's done with you. You know that, don't you?
I look up at him, suddenly weary.
Yeah,
I know. I reach for my beer. And you can leave now. But he snatches the bottle from my hand and walks into the kitchen.
You're really fucking pushing it!
I warn him and jump up.
You're being an idiot and you know it! You're here getting shit-faced while Tess is hurt, and you don't even care!
He yells.
Stop yelling at me! Fuck!
I twist my fingers into my hair, tugging at the roots.
I do care, but she isn't going to believe anything I say! Do you blame her? You should have just come home.
Or how about this?
Never left at all,
he says and pours my beer down the drain.
How can you be so uncaring? She loves you so much.
He goes to the refrigerator and hands me a bottle of water.
I'm not uncaring. I'm just sick of waiting for some shit to happen. You were babbling on and on about your fucking perfect love life and making sacrifices, blah, blah. Then Tess goes and says his damn name.
I roll my head back, staring at the ceiling for a moment.
Whose name?
He asks.
Zed. She said his name in her sleep. Clear as day, like she wanted him to be there instead of me. In her sleep?
He asks, and I can hear the sarcasm in his voice.
Yes. Sleeping or not, she said his name instead of mine.
He rolls his eyes.
You do realize how ridiculous this sounds, don't you? Tessa said Zed's name while she was sleeping, so you go out and get drunk. You're making a big deal out of this for no reason.
The water bottle crunches and collapses in my hand from my grip.
You don't even...
I start, but then hear keys and the sound of the front door lock turning and opening. I turn around and see her come through the door. Tessa. And Zed. Zed next to her. I can't see straight as I get up and move toward them.
What the fuck is this shit?
I scream. Tessa takes a step back, stumbles, and catches herself on the wall behind her.
Harden, stop!
She yells at me.
No! Fuck this! I'm sick of you coming around every time shit goes down!
I say, and shove my hands against Zed's chest.
Stop it!
Tessa yells again.
Please,
she says, then looks at Landon.
What are you doing here?
She asks him.
I came to talk to him.
I nod sarcastically.
Actually, he came here trying to fight me.
Tessa's eyes nearly pop out of their sockets.
What? I'll tell you later,
Landon says. Zed is breathing hard, and he's staring at her. How could she bring him here after everything? Of course she'd go running to him, the man of her dreams. Tessa turns to Zed and puts a gentle hand on his shoulder.
Thanks for bringing me home, Zed. I really appreciate it, but it's probably best you go.
He eyes me. Are you sure? He asks.
Yes, I am. Thank you so much. Landon's here, and I'll be going to his parents' place tonight.
Zed nods in agreement, like he gets enough of a say to agree to anything, then turns and leaves. Tessa closes the door behind him. I can't control my anger as Tessa turns to me with a scowl on her face.
I'm getting my clothes.
She walks into the bedroom. I follow her, of course.
Why did you call him for a ride?
I shout behind her.
Why did you go drinking with this Carly girl?
Oh, wait. You were probably complaining about how needy and full of expectations your girlfriend is.
She snaps.
Oh, let me guess how quick you were to unload to Zed about how fucked up I am.
I growl back at her.
No. I didn't tell him anything, actually. I'm sure he already knows it. Are you going to let me explain my side of this?
I ask her.
Sure,
she remarks, attempting to pull her suitcase from the top shelf in the closet. I move to help her.
Move,
she snaps, obviously out of patience with my bullshit. I step back and let her get the case down.
I shouldn't have left last night,
I tell her.
Really?
She sarcastically says.
Yes, really. I shouldn't have left and I shouldn't have drunk so much. But I didn't cheat on you. I wouldn't do that. I only slept at her house because I was too drunk to drive. That's it,
I explain. She crosses her arms and gets that classic mad girlfriend pose.
Then why lie?
I don't know. Because I knew you wouldn't believe me if I told you.
Well, cheaters usually don't admit when they cheat.
I didn't cheat on you,
I tell her, She sighs, obviously not convinced.
It's really hard to believe you when you blatantly lie all the time. This time isn't any different.
I know. I'm sorry for lying before, about everything.
But I wouldn't cheat on you.
I put my arms in the air. She neatly places a folded shirt in her suitcase.
Like I said, cheaters don't admit they cheated. If you didn't have anything to hide, you wouldn't have lied.
It's not that big of a deal. I didn't do anything with her, I say, defending myself as she adds another article of clothing.
So what if I got wasted and stayed the night at Zed's house? What would you do?
She asks me, and the thought nearly sends me over the edge.
I'd fucking kill him. So it's not a big deal when you do it, only if it were me.
She calls me out on my double standard.
None of this even matters. You made it clear that I'm only temporary in your life,
Tessa says. She walks out of the room and into the bathroom across the hall to get her toiletries. She really is going with Landon to my father's house. This is bullshit. She isn't temporary to me. How could she even think that? Probably because of all the shit I said to her last night and my lack of words today. You know I'm not going to let this go, I tell her when she zips her suitcase.
Well, I'm leaving.
Why? You know you'll be back. My anger speaks for me.
That's exactly why I'm leaving, she says,
her voice shaky as she grabs her suitcase and leaves the room without looking back. When I hear the front door slam shut, I lean my back against the wall and slide to the floor.
Chapter 79. Tessa. 9 days. 9 days have gone by without a single word from Harden. I didn't think it was possible for me to go a single day without speaking to him, let alone 9. It feels like 100, honestly, though each hour does hurt microscopically less than the prior one. It hasn't been easy, not even close to that. Ken made a call to Mr. Vance asking that I be allowed to take the rest of the week off, which only meant missing one day anyway. I know I'm the one who left, the one who walked away, but it kills me that he hasn't even tried to get in touch with me. I have always given more in the relationship, and this was his chance to show me how he truly feels. I guess, in a way, he's showing me. It's just that what he feels is the opposite of what I had desperately wanted, needed. I know that Harden loves me. I do. However, I also know that if he loves me as much as I thought he did, he would have made it a point to show me by now. He said he wasn't going to let this go, but he did. He let it go, and he let me go. The part that scares me the most is that the first week I was walking around completely lost. I was lost without Harden. Lost without his witty comments. Lost without his crude remarks. Lost without his assurance and his confidence. Lost without the way he'd sometimes draw circles on my hand while holding it between his. The way he'd kiss me for no reason, and smile at me when he thought I wasn't looking. I don't want to be lost without him. I want to be strong. I want my days and nights to be just the same whether I'm alone or not. I'm beginning to suspect I may always be alone, as dramatic as the thought seems. I wasn't happy with Noah, yet Harden and I didn't work. Maybe I'm like my mother in that way. Maybe I'm better off alone. I didn't want it to be over this way, so cut and dried. I wanted to talk about everything. I wanted him to answer my calls so we could come to some sort of agreement. I just needed space. I needed a break from him to show him that I'm not his doormat. It backfired on me because he obviously doesn't care as much as I thought he did. Maybe this was his plan all along. Get me to break up with him. I've known a few girls who go that route when leaving their boyfriends. During the first day, I did expect a call, text, or... hell, I really expected Harden to come bursting through the door screaming at the top of his lungs and causing a scene while his family and I sat in the dining room in silence, no one quite sure what to say to me. When that didn't happen, I lost it. Not crying in the corner feeling sorry for myself lost it. I mean, I lost myself. Every second I lived in anticipation of Hardin's coming back to grovel for my forgiveness. I almost gave in that day. I almost went back to the apartment. I was ready to tell him to hell with marriage. I don't care if he lies to me every day and doesn't respect me, as long as he never leaves me. Thankfully, I snapped out of that and salvaged some respect for myself. Day three was the worst. Day three was when the realization really began to hit me. Day three was when I finally spoke after 3 days of near silence, having only muttered a simple yes or no to Landon or Karen during their awkward attempts to engage me in conversation. The only sounds that actually came out were a strangled sob and a choppy explanation through tears of why my life would be better, easier without him, that even I didn't believe. Day three was when I finally looked in the mirror at my dirty and bruised face, my eyes swollen to the point of barely opening. Day three was when I fell to the floor, finally praying to God to make the pain disappear. No one can handle this pain, I told him. Not even me. Day three, I called him. I couldn't help myself. I told myself that if he answers, we would work it out and both come to a compromise, apologizing profusely and promising to never leave each other again. Instead, I got his voicemail after two rings, proving that he rejected the call. Day four, I slipped and called him again. This time he had the courtesy to let it ring to voicemail instead of pressing ignore. Day four was when I realized how much more I actually care for him than he does me. Day four was when I spent the entire day in bed, reliving the few times he actually told me how he felt about me. I began to realize that most of our relationship and how I portrayed his feelings for me in my mind was just that. In my mind. I began to realize that while I was thinking we could do this, we could make this work forever, he wasn't thinking about me at all. That was the day I decided to join the ranks of normal teenagers and had Landon show me how to download music onto my phone. Once I started, I couldn't stop. Over 100 songs were added, and headphones were put in my ears and barely removed for almost 24 hours. The music helps a lot. To hear about other people's pain reminds me that I'm not the only one to suffer in life. I'm not the only one who loved someone who didn't love them enough to fight for them. Day five was when I finally showered and attempted to go to class. I went to yoga, hoping that I could handle the memories it would evoke. I felt strange walking around in a sea of cheery college students. I used all the energy I had in hoping that I wouldn't run into Hardin on campus. I was past the stage of wanting him to call. I managed to drink half of my coffee that morning, and Landon told me that the color was coming back into my cheeks. No one seemed to notice me, and that was exactly what I wanted. Professor Soto assigned us to write down our biggest fears when it comes to life and how they relate to faith and God.
"Are you afraid to die?"
he asked us. "Aren't I already dead?" I answered silently. Day six was a Tuesday. I began to speak in sentences. Broken sentences that usually didn't relate to the subject at hand, but no one had the heart to call me out on it. I returned to Vance. Kimberly couldn't meet my eyes for the first part of the day, but she finally attempted to have a conversation, which I couldn't bring myself to participate in. She mentioned a dinner, and I reminded myself to ask her again when I can think straight. The day was spent staring at the first page of a manuscript that, no matter how many times I read and reread it, wouldn't soak in. I ate that day, more than just the rice or a banana I had in the days before. Karen made a ham. I only noticed because it reminded me that she made one for the dinner Hardin and I had here in the beginning. The images from that night, the picture of him sitting next to me and holding my hand under the table, sent me back into my tragic state, making me spend the night in the bathroom vomiting up the small bit of food I had consumed. As day seven dragged on, I began to imagine what would happen if I didn't have to feel this pain anymore. What if I just disappeared? The thought terrified me. Not because of my death, but because my mind was capable of going to such a dark place. That thought snapped me out of my downward spiral and brought me to the closest thing to reality my mind can handle. I changed my shirt and vowed to never step foot in Hardin's bedroom again, no matter what happened. I began to look up apartments that I could afford close to Vance and online classes at WCU. I enjoy academics too much to close myself off and take online classes, so I ultimately decided against it. But I found a few apartments to look into. Day 8, I smiled. Briefly, but everyone noticed. Day 8 was the first morning that I grabbed my usual donut and coffee when I arrived at Vance. I kept it down and even went back for more. I saw Trevor, who told me I looked beautiful despite my wrinkled clothes and hollow eyes. Day 8 was the shift. Day 8 was the first day that only half of my time was spent wishing that things had gone differently between Harden and me. I heard Ken and Karen discussing Harden's birthday in a few days, and I was surprised to only feel a slight burn in my chest at the sound of his name. Day 9 is today.
I'll be downstairs,
Landon calls through the door of my bedroom. No one has even mentioned me leaving or where I would go if I did. I'm grateful for it, but at the same time, I know my presence will eventually be a burden. Landon keeps assuring me that I can stay as long as I need to, and Karen reminds me how much she enjoys my company multiple times a day. But at the end of the day, they're Harden's family. I want to make a move forward, decide where I should go and where I should live, and I'm no longer afraid. I cannot and refuse to spend another day crying over a dishonest boy with tattoos who doesn't love me anymore. When I see Landon downstairs, he's taking a large bite of a bagel. A dab of cream cheese rests in the corner of his mouth and his tongue darts out to retrieve it.
Morning,
he smiles, his cheek full and eyes wide. Morning, I repeat, and pour a glass of water. He continues to stare at me while I sip my water. What? I finally ask him.
You look great,
he says. Thank you. I decided to shower and come back from the dead, I joke, and he smiles slowly as if he's unsure about my mental state. Really, it's fine, I assure him, and he takes another bite of his bagel, finishing it. I decide to put one in the toaster for myself and try not to notice Landon staring at me like I'm an animal in a zoo. I'm ready whenever you are, I tell him after finishing my breakfast. Tessa, you look so gorgeous today, Karen exclaims when she enters the kitchen. Thank you, I smile at her. Today's the first day that I've taken the time to get ready, really ready and presentable. The last 8 days I have gone far away from my usual neat appearance. Today I feel like myself, my new self, my after-Harden self. Day 9 is my day. That dress is flattering, Karen compliments me again. The yellow dress that Trish got me for Christmas fits well, and it's very casual. I'm not going to make the same mistake as last time and attempt to wear heels to classes, so my Tom's it is. Half of my hair is pinned back with a few loose curls tapering over my face. My makeup is subtle, but I think it suits me well. My eyes burned slightly as I dragged the brown liner underneath my eye. Makeup surely wasn't on my list of priorities during my downward spiral. Thank you so much, I smile again. Have a great day, Karen smiles, clearly surprised but very pleased at my return to the real world. This must be what it's like to have a caring mother, someone to send you off to school with kind and encouraging words, someone unlike my mother. My mother. I have dodged all calls from her, and thankfully so. She was the last person I wanted to speak to, but now that I can breathe without wanting to rip my heart from my chest, I actually want to call her. Oh, Tessa, will you be riding with us to Christian's house on Sunday? Karen asks just as I reach the door. Sunday? The dinner they're having to celebrate their move to Seattle? She tells me as if I should know this already. Kimberly said she told you about it? If you don't want to go, I know they'll understand, she assures me. No, no, I want to go. I'll ride with you, I smile. I am ready for this. I can be in public, in a social setting, without cracking. My subconscious is mute for the first time in 9 days, and I thank her before following Landon outside. The weather mirrors my mood, sunny and somewhat warm for the end of January. Are you going on Sunday? I ask him once we get in the car.
No, I'm leaving tonight, remember?
He replies. What? He looks at me with a wrinkled brow.
I'm going to New York for the weekend. Dakota is moving into her apartment there. I told you a few days ago.
I'm so sorry. I should have paid more attention to you instead of making it all about me, I tell him. I can't believe how selfish I've been to not even pay attention to him telling me about Dakota's move to New York.
No, it's okay. I only briefly mentioned it anyway. I didn't want to rub it in your face when you were, well, you know.
A zombie? I finish for him.
Yes, a very scary zombie.
He jokes, and I smile for the fifth time in 9 days. It feels nice. When will you be back? I ask Landon.
Monday morning. I'll miss religion, but I'll be there right after.
Wow, that's exciting. New York will be incredible. I would love to escape, to get out of here for a while.
I was worried about going and leaving you here,
he tells me, and guilt fills me. Don't be. You already do way too much for me. It's time I do things for myself. I don't want you to ever think about not doing something for yourself because of me. I'm so sorry that I made you feel that way, I tell him.
It's not your fault. It's his,
he reminds me, and I nod. My headphones go back into my ears, and Landon smiles. In religion, Professor Soto chooses the subject of pain. For a moment, I swear he's done it on my behalf to torture me. But when I begin to write about how pain can cause people to turn to or away from their faith in God, I'm thankful for this torture. My entry ends up being filled with thoughts about how pain can change you, how pain can make you much stronger, and in the end, you don't need faith as much. You need yourself. You need to be strong and not allow pain to push you or pull you into anything. I end up going back to the coffee house before yoga to acquire more energy. On my way back to yoga, I pass the environmental studies building and my mind goes to Zed. I wonder if he's in there now. I assume he is, but I don't have a clue about his schedule. Before I can overthink it, I go inside. I have a little time before my class begins, and it's less than a 5-minute walk from here. I look around the large lobby of the building. Just like I might have expected, large trees fill most of the massive space. Sticking to the theme, the ceiling is mostly skylights, giving the illusion that it's almost non-existent.
Tessa?
I turn, and indeed, there is Zed, wearing a lab coat and thick safety goggles on top of his head that push his hair back. Hey, I say. He smiles.
What are you doing in here? Did you change your major?
I adore the way his tongue hides behind his teeth when he smiles. I always have. I was looking for you, actually.
You were?
He seems astounded.
Chapter 80. Harden. 9 days. 9 days have gone by without speaking to Tessa. I didn't think it was possible for me to go a single day without speaking to her, let alone 9 fucking days. It feels like 1,000. And each hour is more painful than the last. When she left the apartment that night, I waited and waited to hear her footsteps rush through the door, and I waited for her voice to begin screaming at me. It didn't come. I sat on the floor waiting and waiting. It never came. She never came. I finished the beer in my fridge and smashed the evidence against the wall. The next morning when I woke up and she was still gone, I packed my shit. I got on a plane to get the fuck out of Washington. If she was going to come back, it would have been that night. I needed to get out of there and get some space. With alcohol on my breath and stains on my white t-shirt, I left for the airport. I didn't call my mum before I got there. It's not like she had anything going on anyway. If Tessa calls me before I get on the flight, I'll turn around. But if not, then too bad, I kept thinking. She had her chance to come back to me. She does every other time, no matter what I do. So why is this time so different? It's not like I did anything, really. I lied to her, but it was a small-ass lie, and she overreacted. If anyone should be pissed off, it's me. She brought Zed to my fucking house. On top of that, Landon comes barging in like the fucking Hulk and slams me into the wall. What the actual fuck? This whole situation is utterly fucked up, and it's not my fault. Well, maybe it is. But she can come crawling back to me, not the other way around. I love her. but I'm not making the first move. Day one was spent mostly on the airplane, sleeping off my hangover. I got many dirty looks from snobby-ass flight attendants and assholes in business suits, but I could give a fuck less. They didn't mean shit to me. I took a cab to my mum's and nearly choked the driver. Who charges that much for a fucking 10-mile cab ride? My mum was shocked and happy to see me. She cried for a few minutes, but thankfully she stopped when Mike appeared. Apparently, the two of them have begun to move her things into his house, and she plans on selling hers. I don't give a shit about that house, so it's no skin off my back. That place is full of shit memories with my drunk asshole of a dad. It's nice to be able to think these things without Tessa's influence. I would feel slightly guilty being rude to my mum and her boyfriend if Tessa were here with me. So thank God she isn't. Day two was exhausting as shit. I spent the entire afternoon listening to my mum talk about her plans for the summer and dodged her questions about why I'm home. I kept telling her if I wanted to talk about it, I would. I came here for some goddamn peace, and all I get is more annoyance. I ended up at the pub down the street by 8. A pretty brunette with the same colour eyes as Tessa smiled at me and offered me a drink that night. I declined, somewhat politely, my kindness only coming out because of the colour of her eyes. The longer I stared at them, the more I realised they weren't the same as Tessa's. They were dull and held no life behind them. Tessa's eyes are the most intriguing shade of grey that appears blue at first glance, until you really look at them. They're nice, as far as eyes go. Why the fuck am I sitting at a pub thinking about eyeballs? Fuck! I saw the disappointment in my mum's eyes when I stumbled through the door after 2 in the morning, but I did my best to ignore it, mumbling a shit apology before forcing my way up the stairs. Day 3 was when it started. Small thoughts of Tessa kept sneaking in at the most random times. While watching my mum hand wash the dishes, I thought of Tessa loading the dishwasher constantly, making sure there was never a single dirty dish lying in the sink.
"We're going to the fair today. Would you like to come?"
my mum asked. "No."
"Please, Harden. You're here visiting, and you've barely spoken to me or spent any time with me."
"No, Mum." I dismiss her.
"I know why you're here," she said softly.
I slammed my cup down on the table and stormed out of the kitchen. I knew she would catch on that I was running, hiding really, from reality. I'm not sure what type of reality there is without Tessa. But I'm not ready to deal with the shit. So why does she have to pester me about it? If Tessa doesn't want to be with me, then to hell with her. I don't need her. I am better off alone, the way I had planned to be all along. Seconds later, my phone rang, but I ignored the call as soon as I saw her name. Why did she call me? To tell me she hates me, or she needs her name off the lease? I was sure.
God damn it, Harden. Why did you do that?
I kept asking myself. I didn't have a good enough answer. Day 4 began the worst way possible.
"Harden, go upstairs!"
she's begging.
"No, not this again."
One of the men slaps her across her face and she looks at the staircase. Her eyes meet mine and I scream.
"Tessa!" "Harden! Wake up, Harden! Please wake up!"
My mum screamed and shook me awake.
"Where is she? Where's Tess?"
I choked, sweat soaking my skin.
"She isn't here, Harden."
"But they..."
It took me a moment to collect my thoughts and realize it was only a nightmare. The same nightmare I've had my entire life. Only this time it was so much worse. My mother's face was replaced with Tessa's.
"Shh, it's okay. It was only a dream."
My mum cried and tried to hug me, but I gently pushed her arms back.
"No, I'm fine,"
I assured her, and told her to leave me alone. I lay awake for the rest of the night, trying to get the image out of my head, but I couldn't. Day four continued just as it started. My mum ignored me all day, which I thought I would want, but it turned out I was sort of lonely. I began to miss Tessa. I kept finding myself looking next to me to talk to her, to wait for her to say something that was sure to make me smile. I wanted to call her. My finger traced over that green button over 100 times, but I couldn't bring myself to do it. I can't give her what she wants, and that isn't going to be good enough for her. It's better this way. I spent the afternoon looking up how much it would cost me to move my shit back here to England. This is where I'm going to end up anyway, so I might as well get it over with. We would never work, Tessa and me. I always knew we wouldn't.